can be done to ensure databases are reliable?
I think the question follows on from the previous one in that a lot of these new techniques, or even any techniques that's using and being used in food fraud, will produce a lot of data. And one of the areas that we're looking at in the Food Integrity Project is to develop some type of guidelines, and we're using some of the international standards, which are called the FAIR standards, so that data is findable, it's also accessible, it's also interoperable, so that it can be, you know, we can exchange data, and reusable. And those are the sort of guidelines that we're trying to apply now to this new mass of data that's going to be created in the food fraud area. But it's a huge challenge, it really is.
I think also that reliability of the database is related in some ways also to the transparency along the chain. I mean, you need in some ways to share the information with all the different players, and this is the only way to be reliable, and also having the possibility to monitor what is going to change during the years, because some suppliers are moving in a different kind of raw materials, in a different processing technologies, in a different kind of packaging or labeling and so on. So you need for sure to share the information in a transparent way and in an interdisciplinary way, I would say, because you have to move from different disciplines as well. Probably about the reliability, maybe we need also to think to sustainability in some ways of the database. And in this sense, probably you need also not to share just the information, but try to push also to share the effort and the costs in some ways between the different stakeholders. Because otherwise, you could have something reliable today in 2016 and then not anymore in 2020 as well.
Yeah, but Mikael, and in addition to that, detection technologies have been developed over the time, and it is changing, the performance is changing. So the database is somehow aging, and what we were able to measure 10 years ago, now I see everything is contaminated, etc., because my detection limits are order of magnitude lower.
In this sense, probably, Jana, there is also a sort of point of borderline. I mean, then you need to define what is really risk use or not.
Definitely.
Because clearly, I remember a Congress in 2007, it remains in my mind, from Eurochems, and the title of the Congress was Pushing the Limits Down to Nothing. And I was surprised at that time. When I say pushing the limit down to nothing, what does it mean? Clearly, there's something that became old, but at the same time, at a certain level of safety, let's say, you can define what is still, let's say, useful and what anymore, because you have new toxicological findings, you have to review the kind of limits and so on.
I fully agree regarding chemical food safety, but on the other hand, regarding adulteration, then the marker can be very minor component.
Yeah.
And then the definition is another one.
Yeah.
So analysis is just repeat and update. The first question is how much test is enough? Don't know. For the repeat, that means something. If the database can be repeated, then go to the database. Not repeated, that means not can be repeatable. And the second thing, if we establish the normal database, then if something is not normal, just must have some problem. For example, in the Taiwan, China, have identified some PAE just because the peak, identified one peak is the nerve to find, and that just check that to find someone added something. That was one example. That means we need to the first get the food integrate what is normal, and then everything we can record it what adulteration. Then that was just also added the database that was upgrade what kind of the food fraud and adulteration have done make a record. And always repeat again. That was the to update the database. What just like the USP have the not for the broad database, that most on the literature or the government inspection issue to these types and the medium reported. Sometimes, yes, it is. Sometimes it's wrong reported, but still, no, something in the USP database still have the meeting reported, but that we need the several repeated again, then some can be kicked off.
What I think, like the USP database, yeah. is that we start with information we can get and kind of see what we can come up with. And that was the first USP database was the expert panel looking at what test methods do people use. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first step. And then we ask more questions, and then it needs more information. Yeah. And so I think it's still that cycle of becoming more mature because we know what question we're asking. And then when you say what's reliable or accurate or precise, we now have more more clear definition because we know what question we're asking.
I think it's really the interoperability because when, for a fraud investigation, we don't really care what database it's come from. But we do care that there's, and it's some states spoke about big data, we do care that there's somewhere out there looking at a lot of the big data. So USP being one, the RASA being another, the EMM, the European Media Monitoring System, the Coordinated Control Programme, the Zoonosis data, all of this that's been collected, the UAAC system. We need something that's scanning all of these systems and then all of the chemical data that's available, all of the microbiological data, it's all relevant. So until we have something scanning all of them, and not just media, not just USP, you know, then we're starting to get somewhere. And you know, if it's not 100% reliable, but it gives us a suspicion, that's often enough to look at, well then there's something gone wrong here, it's a traceability or a labeling problem, or someone, as you say, some person's actively gone out and seen an opportunity to make money. And we can investigate that fairly easily on a suspicion, and you can rule it out usually quite quickly. An investigation, it doesn't have to be an 18-month, although some of them are, we're doing an investigation at the moment, it's into its third year now, but some of them go on that long, but some of them will end very quickly.
Yes, just the big that in small laboratory is a difficult task.
In fact, we have a huge challenge, especially with building up analytical data for food products, is the whole variability of food itself. So data that we're going to put into the database this year, if climate's different next year, could be different again, and maturity of plant products and age of animal products and the way an animal's been fed and all that sort of thing has to be also put into the database to ensure its reliability. And that is a huge challenge, I think, for all the analytical chemists that are trying to build up databases.
And they should be built up for a long time just to accommodate the variability you mentioned. Because this interannual variability and processing and those things.
And processing, of course.
Some of the most reliable databases are actually held by industry, and they're held by industry because they want to protect their brand against food fraud. And some of those industries, not all, but some of those industries are quite happy to work with regulatory authorities to help prosecute people who are undermining their brand. But virtually unanimously, they will not share the database with anyone because that's extreme proprietary information.
Yeah, the recipe to fraud as well.
The other thing we suggested in the EU when they were revising the legislation was that maybe it should be made mandatory for a company to say we have knowledge about some fraudulent activity in relation to our brand. Why shouldn't the authorities be told that? Because if there's a product recall or withdrawal, it's mandatory in law, they must tell the regulatory authorities. If it's food fraud, they don't have to. Why don't they? And big lobby is probably why they don't have to, but why shouldn't they? If there's a risk to human health, now who determines that? But if there is the risk to human health, I think that should be mandatory for them to go to the authorities and say, here's the information I have related to my brand. And outside of Europe and some countries, it's actually a legal requirement for a company to show that they've taken enough action to protect their brand against counterfeit product, or where they know there's a counterfeit product, that they've gone after that and that they've taken some action. And if they don't show that, they become liable. Not the way in Europe. In Europe, companies put their hands up and say, sure, what can I do? My brand has been counterfeited and someone messed around and relabeled or added a contaminant or substituted something or whatever they did, it was a diversion and I can't do anything about that. But actually, if you're legally liable, you'll do something about it. And let's face it, big companies are there making big profit, and I just wonder, are they spending enough on, and they, I think it's beginning now, all right, but and brands can be ruined overnight and very quickly, but you know, I'm not sure that we're hearing enough about what they know, because they know much more than we do at the moment.
I think overall there's, you know, even our discussion here, we're digging more into what exact question we're asking. And also then a key is when there's a breakdown or when we think there's a gap. So of identifying, you know, what information some people have, can they share it, how can they share it, where do they share it around the world, we're getting to some very specific questions and some very specific needs that a specific agency needs or a testing lab needs or a company needs. And I think that's a key. When we start to get to that very precise question, we can then mobilize around it, and if there is a real value, then there's a real value. And we have incentive to push that. And I think also us as a wide range of backgrounds, but we're all essentially scholars in advancing food fraud. We need to also keep defining those new parameters and the reasons why we're doing things. Because if we don't see it and we can't explain it to each other, then we can't explain it to help agencies or other people advance it.
And large companies know that they can't take on the frauds just by themselves, or they don't want to go to that cost. So in the UK and Ireland now, the big companies have come together and they've shared their data with legal counsel. So if we go looking for its client privilege and saying we can't give you that data, but the legal counsel anonymise it and send the lessons around to all of the members of that group. And it's a very clever way, and that's one of the suggestions you had from the report, it's a very clever way of sharing data. But it shows that the big companies do believe that data needs to be shared. They have data that suggests we need to share this problem, because when it's a problem shared, it's a problem halved, and they really want to halve the problem because it exists. And it's a very good system, I think, too.
I think it's one of the biggest steps forward in food fraud detection from point of view of industry. So, it is a UK and Irish initiative. It's called FIN, the Food Industry Intelligence Network. 22 members at the moment, but that represents 60% of the trade in food in UK and Ireland, and they are sharing data. It's quite incredible. Yeah. I chair their advisory group, and in September of this year they plan to open it up to the whole industry across the UK. I think that will be one of the biggest deterrents to food fraud, much more than any testing that will go on, that huge data set.
This is exactly what I was saying in terms of sharing, in terms of transparency, because in this case you can have this kind of companies that make alliance, because this is better than compete, at least on this kind of territory in which it is clear that some of the frauds are under the light of the sun and some kind of chains are affected about that. So it's, let's say, stupid and useful. Do not try to share, even if in an anonymous final direction, but to have the information available to fight all together.